grateful we are this morning to be able to stand on the promises of Almighty God. And we're thankful that you're here this morning. I don't doubt you're here because you believe in the promises of God. Jesus promised many, many things. Among those things that he promised was not only eternal life, not only the salvation from our sin, but he promised us of his second coming, John the 14th chapter. And the question this morning is, are you watching? Are you watching for the coming of Christ? Would you know it if he came? I believe so, because the book of Revelation chapter 1 says that when he comes, every eye shall see him. You know, we hear a lot today about the year 2012, and long has it been predicted that on December the 21st, the year 2012, that the end of the world will occur. So I hope you have your insurance paid up. I hope you've taken your money out of the bank. I hope you've prepared to meet the coming of Jesus. Now we know that even though the world predicts that there is going to be some kind of cataclysmic event that is going to take place on December the 21st, that it isn't really going to happen as such. It isn't. The Mayan calendar has everyone concerned. That is the Mayan Indians. A few years ago, Audrey and I had the opportunity to go down to New Mexico and visit some of their ruins and to learn a little bit more about the Mayan Indians. They believe that the world, the end of the world is very soon. And, you know, a lot of people today are more concerned about what the Mayans are saying about the coming of Jesus or the end of the world than what Christ has to say himself. Are you watching? Some people believe that there again, there's going to be the end of the world, that it is going to happen, that Christ is going to come. But will he? The year 2012 is nearing an end. Let me ask you a question. Are you happy? Are you happy with what you are giving unto God? How much have you learned this past year? How many times have you attended worship? How many people have you reached with the gospel of Christ? And how many Bible studies have you had with other people? How many prayers have you prayed? How many people have you helped? If the answer to that is nothing, then I can tell you that you are not prepared to meet Jesus when he comes. But some teach that in just 3 short weeks, there will be that event that will take place in the heavens, that the earth is going to dissolve as we know it, and that the end of the universe will come. All life will perish, but the question is 2012 the end of the world? Several years ago, I had the opportunity to talk to Vernon Howe. Now, that name may not ring a bell with you, but probably the name David Koresh does. A number of years ago, before they moved to Mount Carmel, that is the Davidian, to the Davidian compound, I had an opportunity to talk with David Koresh, who believed himself to be some self-proclaimed Messiah, and that they were awaiting the coming of Jesus Christ. He predicted the end of the world would come, and it did for them. Sadly to say. But Christ did not come. And he was no Messiah. He deceived a lot of folk and led them astray. And in my discussion with him, I soon learned that he was all about himself and not about God anyway. They later moved to, of course, many of you are aware that the Davidian compound originated here north of Palestine before they moved to what they call Mount Carmel. which ended some time ago. But some people teach that the end is going to come, like himself, Fox News, and CNN. You've watched Bill Hemmer recently talking about this event that is going to occur. And you know, the news media really builds this up. They play it up. And then they play it down. I can tell you that according to the Word of God, we are on a countdown to doomsday. But I can tell you that it will not occur on December the 21st, and I will tell you why we can know that in a moment. By the way, someone is calling December 21st Black Friday. Now, you thought it occurred just a short time ago. But I can tell you, if Jesus Christ were to come on the 21st of December, people would not be rushing out to Walmart or down to Lowe's or over to CVS or Walgreens or Target or JCPenney or anywhere else to stock up, because it would be too late. Many predicted last year that Christ would come, that the world would come to an end. It would all be over. And what do you say to all of these religious prognosticators about their predictions about the future and what might occur? You know what I would say? I have learned to never underestimate the stupidity of idiots. Now, that's not to say that the clock of life is not winding down. The clock of life is winding down. But according to the book of Matthew 24 and verse 36, our Lord himself said that no one knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man will come again. And as I said, many people today are more concerned about what the Mayans are saying about the coming of Christ and the end of the world than they are about what Jesus is teaching about the end of the world. Again, in Matthew 24, 36, Jesus said, "No man knows the day nor the hour." Now, should we be watching for the coming of Jesus? Jesus said, "Watch, for you know not what hour the Son of Man cometh." Certainly, because people are making predictions, is no inducement for us to watch for the coming of Jesus. But we watch for the coming of Christ because of what our Lord Jesus Christ himself taught. But of that day and that hour, he says, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, he says, but my Father only. And if you were reading in the account given in the book of Mark, the 13th chapter, verse 32, Jesus says, "But of that day and that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son." That is, not even Jesus. Because that power rests with the Father in heaven. And he acknowledges that only the Father. Now, the second coming of Jesus Christ will have its place. It will. And I'm not discounting that this morning, but again in Matthew 24, 36. Notice what Jesus says in verse 30. He says, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn," he says, "and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." In Matthew 26 and 64, Jesus said, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Notice what Christ says. Luke 21 and verse 27 says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory." Revelation 1 and verse 7, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." And he says, "Even so, amen." And if you were to peruse even just a casual perusal of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, you would find Paul making this statement, "For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now there are three things realistically we need to know about this coming of Jesus. And even though I don't subscribe to the Mayan theory that the end of the world is going to occur on the day so desired or the day so designated, December 21st of 2012. But I do believe that there are three things about his coming that you need to know. Number one, he is coming in great power and great glory. That's what he says. When you see the Son of Man in heaven, he says, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man. That is, you and I will have witness to the coming of Jesus Christ if we are alive and remain unto his coming. And if we die, we will be in our grave. That is, our body will be, our spirit will have already gone to be with God. But we will be awakened from the grave. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first. That is, those that are in the cemeteries and the graveyards will rise from their graves first of all. And those of us who are alive on the face of the earth will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And they will still, those who are in their graves, will still see Christ coming in great glory and in great power, according to the Bible. And then in that 13th chapter of the book of Mark again, then they will see the Son of Man coming with great glory and great power. What does it mean in his glory? Have you ever thought about the glorified Christ? What a moment that's going to be. In glory. You know, we sing those old hymns like, oh, that will be glory for me. We sing that old song, when he comes in glory by and by. It is going to be a glorious occasion to be able to see the Christ coming out of heaven, adorned as a husband, and the bride having made ready to meet her husband. And then God will take us into his presence to live forevermore in his glory when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then will he sit on the throne of his glory. How majestic that moment is going to be. It is beyond our description. It is beyond words. It is beyond verbalizing what we really believe that glory is going to be. But it is going to be so majestic. It is going to be like anything you have never seen before in your life. For you see, Paul said that the eye hath not seen, and the ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man. Your consciousness could never fathom all of this. He says, which the glory which God shall reveal in us. But he is coming in his glory. John longed for it. In our Bible class this morning, the question came up, what did John mean by come quickly, Lord Jesus? He was ready to see God. But there's another thought you need to know about the coming of Christ and the end of the world. And that is, he is coming as a thief in the night. He is coming as one who would perhaps come when you least expect it. That's really what it's talking about. And so all of those people who are making predictions about when Christ is going to come need to go back and read exactly what the Bible says here again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, what he means by that is those who are predicting that he's going to come at a certain hour don't know what the Bible really says. No one knows the day nor the hour. And here he says, here he's going to come. The thief comes when you least expect it. The man who's going to burglarize your home wants to come when you don't expect him. That's what he's saying. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter writes these words. He says, but the day of the Lord will come again as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, I want to tell you something. There are many today who theorize that when Christ comes again, that he's going to set up a kingdom right here upon this earth. And many of our politicians and many of our congressmen and senators and others in Washington believe that when Christ comes again, he is going to set up a world-ruling government out of Israel. Isn't going to happen, folks. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And if you were to read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you would find where Christ says in verse 24 and following there, where he talks about the fact that when he comes again, he is coming to give up the kingdom back to the Father. You see, Jesus is now reigning over his kingdom, which is the church of the living God. He is now, as Revelation hails him to be, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is now king. But when he comes again, he will not come as the king. He will come as the judge. Paul declared him to be the judge of the quick and the dead, that is the living, and those who have deceased. It is going to happen. Revelation 16 and verse 15. The Bible says, behold, Christ says, I come as a thief. And blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. He is coming. That's why we ought to be watching. Christ could come at any day, but less likely to come at a time that I predict or mankind predicts. You know, they've been prognosticators who have long been predicting the coming of Jesus Christ in the end of the world. Back in 1917, there was a man by the name of Russell, and everybody bought into it that the end of the world is coming. It's going to happen. Remember Applegate that tried to get everybody to board Halley's Comet, remember, some time ago? And the end of the world is coming. We've had people talk about it for a long, long time. But Christ said no one knows the day nor the hour when he's coming. But that does not negate the fact that you and I need to be watching. Over and over in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible says that we are to watch and be faithful. But then there's another thing that you need to know about this end of the world and the coming of Jesus. And that is, only the faithful are secure. Now, I know a lot of people today who believe that they are secure because they've been baptized. A lot of people who believe that they're ready for the coming of Jesus Christ because at some point along life's journey, they were immersed in water and they fulfilled the commandment of Christ, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But I'm telling you, just because you have been baptized does not mean that you're going to live in the presence of God eternally forever and ever. If you are unfaithful unto God, and if you are not living as God wants you to live, it matters not whether you've been baptized or not. But that, again, does not negate the fact that we ought to be baptized. We all ought to be baptized. Jesus taught it, and in every sermon in the book of Acts, the Bible foretells the coming of Jesus Christ and tells also that we are to believe in Christ and turn from our sin, confessing him as Lord and being baptized or immersed in water that our sin might be forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But just because we have even been a believer in Jesus does not mean we're going to heaven, folk. You need to be watching for the coming of Jesus, but you also need to be watching your own life. The way you live, the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you act in your life. So Christ says, in the book of Job 19, verse 25 and 26, the writer says, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that is Job. And he shall stand at the last day on earth, and after my sin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God. You know what Job's talking about? He's talking about a resurrection. Read the book of Daniel chapter 12, same thing. Christ is coming again. We're going to be raised. The body is going to be changed. There are a lot of people today that would like to believe that when you die, you just die and you're just kind of dead all over, like your little puppy dog or your cat. That it's just all over for you. But I'm telling you, that's not true. It's not true. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 said, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only to me, but all of them who have loved his appearing." We must fight the battle of faith in order to be ready when Christ comes again and for the end of the world. You see, there are a number of things that are all going to happen at one time. The study of eschatology, and that really is the study of final events. That's really what it's all about. Let me tell you what's going to happen according to the Bible. The Word of God says that Christ will descend from heaven. He will come, as we've already said, in great glory and power. And the Bible says that the sainted dead will rise first to meet the Lord in the air. Notice this, not here, but in the air. And the Bible says, "And we which are alive and remain shall be changed, and we'll be caught up behind them." Now, not only will Jesus come, but the end of the world will take place. For the Bible says that the elements as we know them even now, the solar system as we know it, will dissolve. And this earth will be burned up. And then there will be the awesome judgment of God. And all these things happen simultaneously, folks. For the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, again, Hebrews chapter 10, many, many other places throughout the Word of God, judgment is coming. It is coming. And he says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? And you and I will all be judged. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. "For we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad." The judgment, an awesome hour. And only the faithful are secure. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 and 21 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await," he says, "for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will," he says, "transform our lowly body, that it would be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Again, the question, are you watching? Are you watching? Now, when I say watching, doesn't necessarily mean you stand outside and you're gazing up into the heavens waiting for the coming of Jesus. But when I'm talking about watching, I'm talking about getting ready. You remember when Jesus ascended into the heavens after his resurrection. The Bible said that two men in white apparel stood by them, that is the disciples, and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into the heaven? For this same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heavens." I don't picture the early church nor the disciples walking around gazing up into the heavens. But I picture them being ready for Christ to come again, to make ready when the bridegroom comes. And Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 42 said, "To watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." In Matthew 25 and verse 13, again, the Bible says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man is coming." And Mark 13, "Take heed," he says, "watch and pray, for you don't know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, or the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he will find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Luke 21:36, watch therefore and pray, always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In Matthew 25:6-13, and at midnight in the story Jesus told about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, at midnight the cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil, that our lamps go not out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the Bible says, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, he says, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man is coming. The question this morning is, do you have oil in your lamp? Do you? You know, it's not a matter of when the Lord comes. It is a matter of, will I be ready at that moment? Is your lamp full of oil? That is, your life as it ought to be? Or are you deficient? Is your life empty? No oil. I would say to this congregation, Crockett Road Church of Christ, are you watching? Are you watching? Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And what will your answer be when he comes? What if he should come this year? What if he were to come today? Would you be ready? What does it mean to be ready? What good would it do you to go out to Walmart or Lowe's or JCPenney or Dillard's or wherever you go to make preparation for this awesome occasion that will happen? I am amazed at the preparation that people make. We spend money. We stock up food. We do all kinds of things. What good are all those things going to do you when Christ comes? Will that be of benefit to you? No. You see, it's not the preparation that you make physically or the preparation that you make materially, but it's the preparation that you make for his coming. And that is, you get your life right with God. And you make sure that you're living as God wants you to live. Well, how do I get ready? That's a big question. Some of the preparation that people make is needless. But how do I get ready? If Jesus said, watch and be ready, how do I get ready for the coming of Jesus? That's a big question. But you know what? It has an easy answer. The Bible says that we are to hear the gospel of Jesus. That's what you're doing this morning. You're hearing it, and I hope that you continue to hear it in your mind, that you read it and you digest it over and over and over again, that you hear that word of God, and not only that you hear it, there are many that hear it and do nothing with it. Jesus said it is of no value at all for you to know it and not do something with it. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6:46. And in Matthew 7, he said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. I would want to believe it with all of my heart. I've heard people say, well, I wish I could believe it. It is not a matter of wishing you believe it. It is a matter of convincing yourself that you do believe it. If you believe that someday you will die, you better get ready. I would want to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know the Bible in the book of Romans says, chapter 10, that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why would Paul say that? Because Christ said it. If we confess him before men, he'll confess us before our Father who is in heaven. And then I would want to make sure that I had repented of my sin. And that's not feeling sorry for your sin. A lot of people get the idea that repenting is just being sorry for what you did. I'm going to tell you something. Romans chapter 2, 4 says that godly sorrow brings about repentance. It worketh it. But repentance is a change that you have to make in your life. It's not just being sorry for your sin. Repenting is changing. You're doing something wrong, change it. And then I would be baptized for the remission of my sins. And I'm going to tell you something. No one would have to plead or beg or twist my arm to do it. I would want to be baptized at the command of Jesus Christ, because I know that's the blueprint of God for my sin to be removed. I would. And I would want to be faithful to the end. Should the Lord come before I die, or should he come after I die? Whichever end comes first, I would want to be faithful unto him. And I would want to just simply be a New Testament Christian, born again. And the question this morning, the question is, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? It is a question that I hope that you will not dismiss from your mind soon, but that it is a question that will linger in your heart till the moment you draw your last breath, or till you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. There is no greater question than this one. You see, everything in this world pivots around this one question. Are you ready? And I hope this morning, if you're not, you'll make ready. And I've shared with you already information this morning about how you can make ready, and we stand willing and ready to assist you and whatever step that you need to take, either to come and make an acknowledgement of Christ as your Lord, to repent of your sin and to be baptized this morning that those sins might be washed away, or an acknowledgement on your part as a child of God who has already been immersed and baptized for the remission of sin. But you've come to the awareness that you haven't been living as God wants you to live. This morning, maybe you need to make ready while we stand and while we sing.